at this point, we're going to go ahead and ask. We're going to go ahead and ask Sister Karen Wilkes to come up and share some thoughts with us. We love and appreciate her and all the effort that she puts in for the Lord's work.
Good evening, boys and girls. You know what? It wasn't long ago you were my boys and girls in junior church. But I just want to tell you all before I begin how much I love all of you. How much I want to see you make it all the way. When I need help with stories, you're right there. I think we've got the best boys and girls and young people going. And if anybody says anything, you just send them to me. I'll straighten them out. I just want you to know how much I love all of you. And thank you for the many, 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 many times you have helped me. I need help, you're there, unless you have to work or something. All right. As the song goes, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered many years. I was brought up in the Church of God by my godly mother. My father wasn't saved, but I'm so thankful. My mother stood true all through the years. Thankful for that, or I wouldn't be here tonight, I'm sure. So as a teenager, I thought I knew a better way, and I started down that slippery slope. Undoubtedly, it was the worst decision I had ever made. Believing the many lies of the devil, your dreams, but you know what? All those lies came to naught, and my dreams pop, pop, pop. The devil can't cause any to come true. Now, a little background. I was born in Ashland, Kentucky. I spent most of my young years in Washington, D.C. We lived in Georgetown. And when I was older, I pretty well knew that town. Could go all over the place. It was back when you could go to the Capitol, the White House, in just about any place you wanted to go. I know it's different now. But anyhow, then we moved to Rockville, Maryland, which is a suburb of D.C., and I graduated from high school there. About 2 weeks after I graduated, I went to work for CIA. And I worked for CIA for 18 years. Anyhow, the following March, I left on a luxury liner with my parents and my brother for Greece. And I was seasick all the way over. So much for the luxury liner. It was a beautiful crossing, but I couldn't handle it. Okay, we arrived in Greece, and I worked in Greece for the government. Now, this was the 50s. Was anybody around in the 50s? Yeah. No. Just been, okay. Anyhow, back then, in the 50s, Greece was it had beautiful, pristine beaches. The water was blue. It was beautiful. Warm weather, lots of sun, and you'd find me there sometimes on the weekends at the beaches. It was beautiful. I also traveled. I went to Corinth with my parents. And when we got to Corinth, Corinth was up on a high, I don't know what you want to call it, hill. It was high up and then plateaued out. Back then, I don't know how it is now, back then the only way you could get up there to Corinth was this little rinky-dink road, and you had to get on a donkey, and up you went like this, higher and higher, and you looked down, and it was scary. Because I sure hope that donkey knows what he's doing, because had we fallen, I guess we wouldn't make it. It was steep and it was high. Anyhow, went to Corinth and went to other places. You know, we lived in Athens for quite a while. So there we had, you know, the Acropolis and the Parthenon that was on the Acropolis. And we visited Mars Hill. And we visited a lot of places in Greece, of course. While there, I was able to buy good jewelry. I fell in love with jewelry. I was able to buy dinner rings with beautiful stones in them, bracelets, necklaces, 14 karat gold. I got so I wouldn't wear anything unless it was the good stuff. Some of it was 24 karat gold, but that wasn't. But see, I became more and more worldly as I bought all these jewels. The one thing I didn't wear, I didn't like earrings. After 2 years, okay, we left for home, but I wasn't going back on a luxury liner. My parents did. I got too seasick. So I flew and I decided, okay, I'm going to tour Europe. So I visited Rome and I visited Venice and the gondolas. In fact, Italy, I toured all over Italy. And then I saw a lot of Italy, then on to Paris, France, the City of Lights. I went up the Eiffel Tower, saw the Mona Lisa. And you know what? Later I thought I would rather have the smile of Jesus than see the Mona Lisa. Yes. Saw the beautiful palace there, went on to Switzerland, saw the Alps, a beautiful country, toured Germany and Amsterdam and Holland and Denmark and Norway and London, England. I saw the crown jewels, Big Ben. I saw many, many sights of Europe. And on I went in my sinful way. Then it was time to fly home. I went home and began working for CIA. And I was becoming more and more worldly. You know, sin doesn't get better. It gets worse. And it holds you tight. And it binds you. And it blinds you. And on I traveled, searching, but not finding. All the sights of the world, all the things you could buy, didn't satisfy the soul. And there was a void within. You know what? The things of this world, they can't satisfy. Let me tell you. Time passed on, and my dad was sent to Japan for 2 years. I chose not to go. The family went, but I didn't. Got an apartment in Bethesda, Maryland, and with two other girls, and one of them worked for CIA. And Wanda became a very good friend. We did everything together and double dated together and all kinds of things like that. And Wanda lives in Portland, so I have been able to contact her when I go out west. Anyway, that didn't really bring happiness either, although we did have some good times. While my parents were in Japan, I was able to fly out and stay with them for a while, visit my aunt and uncle in Hawaii. So I have seen lots of the world, and always buying jewelry, that was my thing. But you know what? It left me empty. I thought, you know why rich people, they have everything they want. They can buy anything they want to buy, go anywhere they want to go, but they're empty. And that's why rich people sometimes commit suicide. Yes, but something happened that changed my life forever. My father was sent to Vietnam. I moved back home. My mother was so upset that he was going to Vietnam. And I felt so sorry for her that I told her I'd take her to church. That following Sunday. I think he left on Thursday. Sunday, I told her I would take her to church. It was a 50-mile trip one way. That morning, I was so tired from being out dancing. I like to dance. And I'd been out dancing the night away. And I told Mother, I said, "You nudge me if I fall asleep in church." I had absolutely no intentions of ever getting saved. But you know, that morning, God saw a poor sinner girl driving down the road, and he had other plans. I don't know how long it had been since I'd been to church. But when I entered that building and the congregation began to sing, the Spirit of God began dealing with me. I had been out on the road of sin a long time. But God had great mercy, and His Spirit began to deal with me. And at first, I resisted. I resisted His Spirit. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful God doesn't take our first no and our second and third? And I continued sitting there, and the conviction got worse and worse and worse. And I was resisting. I was saying no. And, you know, they kept on singing. And as I sat there resisting the Spirit of God, I showed, you know what? Sometimes we don't know what's going on the inside. Because I was sitting there and I showed no sign of conviction at first. Not even my mother, who was sitting beside me, knew I was under conviction. However, God didn't take my nose, thank God, His great mercy. As I sat there, tears began welling up in my eyes. And it was hard to pretend that nothing was going on, you know? And by this time, there was a duet singing. I learned later the name of the song. I didn't know then because I was under such conviction. But the song was, "I Made a Place in My Heart for the Lord." What an appropriate song. But I didn't hear the words that Sunday morning. The conviction was so heavy. And I'm just thankful that God is so merciful. And as I sat there, I heard a voice. I love that song. I heard a voice. And even though I had been out in sin a long time, I knew that voice. And it got my attention. And the message got my attention. That voice said, "Get in or get out." That got my attention. I had a choice to make. I could either go to the altar or I could go out the door. But I couldn't just sit there because the conviction was too great. And I'm so thankful. Once in my life, I made the best decision I ever made. I took off for the altar like a streak. In my high heels, clickety-clickety-click, in my high heels, my bobbed hair, my frosted hair, and needless to say, there was no preaching service that morning. Maybe some of you older ones remember Brother Lightfoot. He was holding revival. And you know what? I was at the altar for quite some time because I had to know I was forgiven. And when that door of my prison house opened up by love and mercy, it was glorious. I mean, it was glorious. It was like dark shackles. I could see them fall off my eyes. And there was Jesus. It is the most inexpressible love that filled my whole being. Without a doubt, I knew, oh yes, you are forgiven. I was clean on the inside and out. The first time in many, many, many years. All I ever hoped for, all I ever wanted, I found that morning in Jesus Christ. Yes, May 13, 1966 is a day I will never forget. I got up from that altar a new creature, and it truly was a miracle. My dear friend up there later told me, she said, "Karen," she said, "I thought you were hopeless. I thought you were hopeless." But no one's hopeless. But I found Jesus, and I felt like I could just fly away. You know how that is. The days of the partying, the days of the dancing, the days of all the gatherings, my beautiful dinner rings, my bracelets, my necklaces, my Mickey Moda pearls, I got rid of. Gone. Because I found something better than gold. Yes. I found the real treasure. And again, I want to say, I found what my heart was really looking for. All that traveling, all seeing the, it doesn't satisfy the jewels, the popularity, the dating, the whining, the dining, the dancing. It doesn't satisfy. I want you to remember that. It doesn't satisfy. I'm so proud of you all. Stay in there. Don't give in. Don't believe the devil's lies, because that's what they are. They're lies. He can't do anything to satisfy that soul. It takes Jesus. And I'm telling you, I could not believe. I could not believe how good this was when I really got saved. It's a wonderful thing. It was beyond my expectations. It was beyond my expectations. The love I felt, I could never express what I felt, that love. There was Jesus, not in person, but I knew he was there. What a miracle, what a miracle. And so the old life I left behind and never looked back. You know what? I've had my ups and downs down through the years. I've had to be forgiven. I've had heartache. I've had good times. But you know, I can say this. I had never, after I got saved, I never wanted to go out in sin again. Never. Like I said, I've had my problems. Never wanted to. Boy, I tell you, sin cannot satisfy. Sin takes you down, down. Whether you're the good life as the world calls it, you got the good life as the world calls it, or whether it's drugs and drinking, it takes you down, down, down. And it holds you captive. And you know, the end of sin, there's scars, there's regrets. Because why? Sin is a tyrant. That is the way of sin. It is a tyrant. So since my conversion, Lord and I have traveled many miles, yay? Yeah, we've traveled many miles together. But I can say, looking back, I wouldn't take anything for my journey. It's worth it all, young people. It is worth it all to be his child. He's a dear friend. He can do for you what no other can do. He can work out your life. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, your wonderful, wonderful salvation. Right. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. It is a wonderful gift, the most wonderful gift you will ever receive. And I thank you, and I thank the Lord for his goodness and all that he's done for me. You know, I'm so glad. Choices. They can be eternal choices. Had I gone out the door, because I wasn't able to sit there, I was too much conviction. Had I gone out that door, you know how I feel? I feel I would have probably never have gotten saved. Eternal decisions are made. And you know, make good decisions. Make good decisions. You don't want to go back in sin. Even if you're in a hard place, listen, God will help you. He will help you through the hard places. And it's worth it all. Remember, choices. I could be lost. I could be in hell. Who knows? I'm so thankful. One day, I made the best choice anyone can ever make. And that's to follow Jesus. And it's been a good life. We've journeyed many miles together, and it has been a good life. May God bless you all. Amen, amen.
Amen.
I'm sure we can all appreciate that testimony. Sister Karen's been an absolute blessing to me in my life, and I appreciate her and the influence she's had on me. And I'm sure just about everyone in here can second that comment.